D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. We are awaiting Predators GM Barry Trotz. He will join us momentarily. Again, if you missed it, the breaking news courtesy of Adam Schefter right before we went to break. Sources, colon, former Cowboys head coach and NBC analyst Jason Garrett is interviewing Friday for the Tennessee Titans head coaching job. And the reaction on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com is interesting. Chad says, the one excuse I'll give Garrett is working under Jerry Jones seems like an impossible task. That probably is true. But if you're looking to excite people, I don't think Jason Garrett is the answer. But David Janes is on the line.
But relative to who? I mean, that's the...
Yes.
That would be the question, right? Nobody would excite you other than maybe Harbaugh, right?
Yes.
Can we come to that conclusion? There's not a single person that would say, I'm excited about that. So I don't know why Garrett's any different.
Well, we will pick this conversation up shortly because in the meantime, let's go to our phone line. We are pleased to be joined by Predators General Manager Barry Trotz. Hi, Barry. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing? Hope you had a good Christmas and New Year's.
Yes. Thank you for asking. We all did. So tonight, this long road stretch finally comes to an end. Seven consecutive games on the road, if you include the game at Minnesota before Christmas. The team has a chance to end that road stretch with 5 wins in 7 games tonight against the Oilers, who are always a tough challenge. But what has impressed you so far about the team's performance over the past couple of weeks in all of these road games?
Well, I think number one is resiliency, because it seems that we don't show up in the first 10 minutes and are always coming back from behind, and it's very difficult to, I'll say, consistently do that on the road to come back. I just think that the group has been very resilient. I think that Saros has given us timely saves, and same with Noonan in those games, and we've gotten contributions from different aspects of our lineup. Example, one night it's Steven Stamkos having a big night, or Ryan O'Reilly, or Philip Forsberg, and then, the next night it's, Michael Bunting's line steps up and gets us 3 or 4 points in Calgary. Or you get I love the fact that this team's come together. The other night, a guy like Nick Hague stepped up, and when there was a little bit of a cheap shot on McCarron, we were playing short in terms of our forward group because we went 11-7. And Hague recognized the importance of stepping up from the defensive standpoint, stepping up and sort of setting the record straight with the young Beecher player from Calgary for his teammate, so he didn't have to do that. And then he ends up getting good karma and scores a winning goal late in the game. So just all those aspects where the teams come together and you talk about playing for each other, they really are. Steven Stamkos blocking a shot at the end of the game the other night. So all those things are good signs that they're having fun, they're playing hard, and getting results.
Barry, around Thanksgiving, I imagine you were the most popular GM in the NHL. Based on where the team was in the standings at the time, I imagine you were fielding a lot of calls about your players. But over the past month and a half, you're one of the best teams in the league. You're firmly back in the playoff mix. So has the call volume changed? Are you receiving as many calls? Are you taking fewer calls now that the team is back in the playoff mix?
No, not at all. I think about the same, really. I think our plan hasn't changed a whole lot. I think everybody I got an opportunity to go to the World Juniors and ran into a number of the general managers, and I think everybody is just, fielding calls, trying to figure out. A lot of teams are trying to figure out if they're going to be sellers or buyers, or what's their options that they might be able to make a move, or look at selling something. So I think there's a lot of indecision in the league right now, I think we've set our plan and we're going forward with it. So
Barry, as we look ahead, you mentioned the World Junior Championships. A lot of people had their eye there. a little disappointing that the Canadian team and the American team couldn't move a little further up the bracket there. But some big moments for Brady Martin and Ryker Lee, a couple of the first-round picks. And I know Cam Reed as a defenseman isn't as a headliner, but I'm told he played very well also. How did you think your seven prospects looked in the tournament, particularly with guys at the top like Lee and Martin, who a lot of people are focused on?
Well, I think both, they're underage players. I think the impact of Brady Martin in the, especially for the Canadian team, he was that driver, that sort of drag, that his line with Michael Hage and McKenna, they really sort of set the tone. He was the guy that was going to all the difficult places, just getting feedback from a lot of the Hockey Canada officials. They all said that he had that it factor in terms of that gravitational pull that he has. He pulls people into the fights. And obviously when he got hurt, it was a little bit of a blow to Canada, because he was one of those guys that would find a way. So all the reports on Brady as the player that we thought that has a lot of substance in his game, goes to the hard areas, has a little bit of it factor, all those things seem to line up. For us, Cam Reed, an underage defenseman, was playing with Zane Parrick as really their sort of top pair in terms of the offensive part of it. And I thought Reed did really well being an underage and playing with a partner who is as talented as Preck, but hard to read. It's like playing with Roman Josi. Not everybody can do it. So I thought he did a really great job. And then I thought, Ivan Kovic coming in and really halfway through the tournament becoming sort of the number one goaltender for Canada, I thought that was really encouraging from that standpoint. And then on the American side, I think you saw people that watched, you saw the Ryker Lee's ability to get involved. The puck sort of follows him, and obviously scored a big goal to get the game tied up. Against Finland, unfortunately lost in overtime. But you could see, being an underage, how important he was in terms of driving offense for the Americans. And obviously Teddy Stiga, with his speed and his ability to be a little bit of a Swiss Army knife and play different positions, had a real good impact in the tournament. So just those between those two teams, I was really, really pleased with all those players. Really pleased with Nieminen, with who is a sixth-round pick, played a very important role for the Finns, played a lot of, and he was an underage as well. That said a lot about our prospects, having so many there that really had a lot of impact.
Let's keep on the prospects for one more question, because this is a guy that's been off the radar a little bit, and Igor Surin, who plays in the KHL. And I'm just curious how you keep tabs on a guy playing so far away, because everything that is coming back, I saw a recent article in The Athletic that he might be, he was arguably the number one prospect or the fastest rising prospect in the organization. What are your thoughts on him, and how do you follow him?
Obviously, we follow him with our Russian scout, Dennis Tarpico. We watch him on Instats. Our development team is watching and communicating with him. I watch on a regular basis all the stuff that they send. I've been in communication with a number of the coaches that I know that are coaching in the KHL that coach against Thurin. I talked to his coach to see how he's doing, and all those things are adding up. He's having a terrific year. He's one of those, I'll say, impact young players, arguably one of the best Russian players that are playing in the KHL this year. He's going to have a big impact on our hockey team in the future, which is really exciting. And he arguably is probably, you talk about Brady that we took as fifth overall, but Surin might be as important to our future as a franchise as anybody else.
That's exciting to hear. You got some business done while you've been in Minnesota. We were happy to see Justus Ahonen sign a new 2-year deal. He's played his best hockey here in his last few starts. He's still pretty young. So how do you evaluate his future going forward, and tell us about the thought process in signing him to the next deal?
Well, I think that number one is, you know, you look at the package of Eustace. He's big and he's athletic and he's got a great work ethic. He's got all the attributes to make, you know, been very fortunate to have some tall Finnish goaltenders that have done very well for our organization. I think the fit with our Mitch Korn and Ben Vanderklok and our goaltending team has been a really good fit for him. And obviously the relationship that he has with Saros, all that I think points to the fact that, you know, he wanted to stay here. B, we wanted him to stay here because we think that there's a real good upside with him. He feels very comfortable. I think it's a contract that makes a lot of sense for both sides. Gives him a little bit of more of a window in the National Hockey League with people he trusts and works with on a daily basis. And you know, in terms of the deal, I think it works well for both sides in terms of length and the money in the deal. So we're really happy that he's back, and I think our goaltending's set for the next couple of years.
Barry Trotz is with us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. And Barry, last week I asked you about Jonathan Marchessault, who remains out of the lineup because of injury. The team has won 6 of 8 without him, and he was struggling before the injury with 3 goals in 18 games. So I'm curious, has his absence made you reanalyze his fit with the team at all?
No, not really. I think you have to be fair. A couple things that, A, just to have very good clarity with Jonathan. Jonathan started out the trip with the group in a rehab type of situation. He hit a plateau. We had him come back and reevaluate, and the doctors have taken a little different course with him. So I'm hoping that he's back on the ice. Actually, I think he went on the ice today with Mark Berwicki, getting him back into our group. And one of the things that you know, you look at the success that Stammers had, or the success that Forsberg's had this year, you know, in certain, I'll say, bits of the season where they've really taken off, and they've been playing with O'Reilly, the one guy who has the same sort of skill set, is known as a goal scorer, a shooter, is Marchessault, and he really hasn't had that opportunity to play with O'Reilly. So maybe that happens when he gets healthy here, but he's a goal scorer. He's a competitive player. And you know, this year he got off to a little bit of a tough start, and he actually got off to a tough start last year and ended up with, I believe, 56 points. And so there's lots of good hockey left in Jonathan. So we just got to give him opportunity. It's very easy to judge. You know, we sort of got a little bit hot, and everybody's, you know, stepped it up in terms of our team game, our 5-on-5 game, our defensive game, and our goaltending. Special teams have all sort of come together at the right time, and the team's had a good run here. But you're going to need everybody, and Jonathan will be a big part of it going forward as well.
Barry, a question a lot of people have, including myself, as I've watched the team since late November reel off 13 wins in 19 games. Is this sustainable? And I understand that the game is played on the ice and not on a spreadsheet, and I am a nerd, and I like to look at the numbers, and the numbers would suggest to me that at some point the team is going to come back down to earth eventually. So as you watch the team, and you know a lot more about this than I do, why do you think this run that you've been on over the past month and a half is sustainable?
Well, I think, you know, if it is going to be sustainable, it'll have to have the same type of all-in commitment that the team has put together. They're going to have the goaltending to be at a level that it's been on in terms of coming up with timely and big saves. You know, I don't know if it'll be sustainable because of our starts. I think we've been able to fight through those starts. And you know, when you have given up as many goals in the first 2 minutes of a hockey game that we have this year, I am actually amazed at the fact that we have the record that we do. So I can't answer that wholeheartedly that it is sustainable, but if it is going to have some, I'll say, some legs to it, it will have to have all those elements sort of continuing to play at a very high level. And, you know, it has in the past. A couple of years ago, we were able to do it. And last year, we weren't able to do it. So, you know, we're 41 games in or whatever it is now. I think you're going to have a buy-in from the team because they're in the mix. And when you're not in the mix, it's hard to have that buy-in. So I think the buy-in will be there. I don't know if the results will be there, but if their buy-in is there, you're going to get a good effort every night, and you know, you'll win your share of games.
Barry, just picking your brain as a hockey person who has coached against these guys over the years, the Predators have not been able to solve McDavid and Draisaitl the last handful of times they've played. Going back a few years, the Oilers have had the upper hand in this head-to-head series. How did you try to contain those two guys? It's impossible certain nights, but even relative to their performance, they have dominated the Predators. What did you try to do to hang in there with guys who can just take over games the way they can?
Well, number one, we had great success against Edmonton when Connor wasn't there, and then he arrived and the success sort of waned over the time, and then I ended up in the Eastern Conference for a number of years, 8 years. But when he came into town, two things that we always talked about is do not give him any freebies on the power play because they're just lethal. You know, if you look at our record when we play Edmonton, I'm almost, without looking at it, I could probably say that they've got at least one goal every game, maybe two power play goals every game. So you've got to make sure that you don't give them any freebies on the power play. And the other thing that I really is you're going to have a five-man back mentality with, you got to sort of muddy the track a little bit. You're going to have to stay in front of him. You're going to have to just bump him a little bit. You know, he draws penalties. He creates space. He finds Draisaitl. You're going to have great awareness and sort of gang tackle Connor. And when he's playing with Draisaitl, you got to gang tackle him, and then you have to be extremely aware of where Draisaitl is. He goes to those quiet areas, and you think he's not dangerous, but they get the puck there, and he's the best at shooting the puck from that real tough angle where you think it's sort of a safe zone where he's not dangerous. And we always just try to take away the middle of the ice as much as you can, keep him to the outside. You can't really stop him. You can't hook him. But you're going to have bodies and layers through the neutral zone as much as you can.
Predators GM Barry Trotz has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Tuesday during hockey season. The Predators have one more road game to go tonight at Edmonton. Puck drop at 8, pregame at 7, right here on 102.5 The Game. Barry, as always, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the game and get home soon.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.